All right, dear friends, we're at our third session, and we were going through the goals of the class, teaching Christians more effectively. And David, do you want to pick up there? I think we're on number four, are we not?
To help you understand the teaching, not as mere dispensing of information, as in always beginning with progressive revelation and the 12 principles, but as striving to directly address the mindset, the beliefs, and the language of the Christian community.
So in many ways, this sums up what the whole class is about. It was a major advance, I think, in the Baha'i community's thinking, where we all learned to give a 2-minute, a 5-minute, and maybe a 15-minute presentation on the faith. That was wonderful. I've grown up in the Baha'i community. Richard and I were brothers, and we come from Pendleton, Oregon. It's a foundational Baha'i community way out in the northeastern corner of Oregon. Wonderful community. Wonderful. Foundational Baha'i community. Third, I think, in the state of Oregon. But the main thing is, it was a major advance when we all learned short talks on the faith. And that's wonderful. But I would say, to balance that notion with being prepared to teach people from where they're coming from, rather than just dispensing. Sometimes we dispense information and we call it teaching. And I'm not sure that definition really fits with what our writings talk about as teaching. Okay? Teaching to where the person is, rather than just dispensing information. That's what we're talking about here. David, go ahead, please.
Also, to help you see that teaching as including the preparation for answering and developing the skills in anticipating the likely questions and the concerns that the Christians will have.
We've kind of talked about this. We know who our audience is, and we know what questions they're going to be asking us. Shouldn't we prepare for those questions in the way the writings direct us to prepare for those questions? Okay, number six.
To help you gain confidence that referring Christians to scriptural Christianity from the Bible itself, as opposed to popular Christian theology, leads to the proofs that Baha'u'llah is Christ's return and will convincingly answer most questions.
What we're going to find is that by referring to the Bible on every question that is raised, it always leads to Baha'u'llah. Now, Christian theology and belief, as it's often practiced and you hear over the airwaves, no, that maybe doesn't lead naturally to Baha'u'llah. But we're going to find that's not so well supported in the Bible itself. Okay? Please, David.
To help you gain confidence and skills in referring to the Bible systematically, recognizing that most Christians will not listen seriously unless you can support Baha'i beliefs by referring to the Bible.
We read Abdu'l-Baha's words on this. If we know the fundamentals of Christianity better than the Christian priests themselves, there will be no other recourse than to recognize Baha'u'llah as the return of Christ. But we try to reason people with logical sorts of evidences from sociology and, biology, chemistry, whatever, astronomy, yeah. We try to reason people to the faith rather than taking them where they are, their own holy book, and leading them with their holy book to where they need to be, recognizing their Lord has returned. Okay? That's the sense of it. It is the case that Christians are instructed from the time they're little to be wary of anything not coming from the Bible, which is the Word of God, and they're right. Okay? Please, David.
To help you learn how to avoid criticism and argument and to build bridges of agreement and mutual respect with our fellow believers in Christ.
This goes to the attitude and spirit in which we teach. These are fellow believers in Christ. Fellow believers. I use that terminology. That phrasing helps me a lot. These are our fellow believers in Christ. We both believe in Christ. We both believe in Christianity. Okay?
To help you to develop the mindset of the Christian message as our religion too.
If you see a difference, dear friends, if we see a difference as Baha'is, a difference between Christianity and the Baha'i faith, we have the barriers ourselves. How is it that we expect we're going to remove the barriers from someone, from this fellow believer in Christ, when we have it ourselves? And we see this as a competition. We see this as a separation thing. It's not. It's the Word of God. This is the eternal faith. This is the changeless faith of God, eternal in the past, eternal in the future. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It's the same statement. It's the same faith. So if we see Christianity as our faith too, we start from a mindset that allows us to have a sharing. But if we see a difference, you shoot yourself in the foot. You are ended before you begin. And you may inoculate this friend, this fellow believer in Christ, against investigating the faith. Okay.
To help you to learn to appreciate, Christians have insights to help us learn to teach them, as well as deepen our own faith and our understanding of both Christianity and the Baha'i faith.
This goes to the arrogance that we mustn't teach with. If you see the fellow believer in Christ as someone to be converted, and that's your whole orientation, my goodness, you come off like you're selling something. That's how it sounds. That creeps into your language, it's your body language, and so forth. But if you're sharing the Word of God, that's not a problem, okay? And it is the case that Christians will have insights that will make you a more profound understander of the revelation of Baha'u'llah. Shoghi Effendi said, our first obligation is to acquire, I'm going to not do the quote correctly at this point, but acquire a deeper appreciation for the stupendous nature of the revelation of Baha'u'llah. And I tell you, as a second generation Baha'i growing up in the house with Richard here, that until I investigated the Bible from the standpoint of the Agan, I did not have a whole realm of appreciation of who Baha'u'llah is. I'm not saying I understand now, but I understand a whale of a lot more and more profoundly from orienting myself that the Christian religion is my religion too. Baha'u'llah is the fulfillment of both the Old Testament and New Testament. We say that. Yes, I know that. Then how is it we don't teach like that? Okay.
Also, to help you see teaching as removing the barriers between a soul and its Lord, especially the barriers of fear and ignorance. Now, Christian ignorance, most characterizations of the faith are bizarre in Christian books. It writes us up as a cult or as an anti-Christian theology.
Dear friends, David has been so kind to provide us here. This is the authority on the Baha'i faith among Christians. It's called The Kingdom of the Cult. It's on every minister's bookshelf, all right? We sent in Grants Pass a letter to all the Christian ministers. There are 77 in a town of 15,000. We invited them to hear a presentation on the Baha'i faith and Christianity. We got 7 responses, 4 of which were, quote, word for word, right out of the Kingdom of the Cults. Go to any Christian bookstore and you'll see the faith labeled as a cult, anti-Christian. That's how we're discussed. That's how we're thought of. And we lean right into that. It's like somebody throwing a right hook and you lean into it. I mean, you come off as anti-Christian in much of our teaching work. Okay.
The element of Christian fear. Most Christians have a fear of being led to hell by the devil or a false prophet or the Antichrist.
I want to tell you, no matter how liberal a Christian is, they've got this question. All of those Christians seem to have gone to the same Sunday school as little kids. And the devil, Satan, was beat into their subconscious. And I tell you, it's there. The religion of God, a religion of love, was made a religion of fear. So that you could keep all of the flock, basically, in fences, I guess, from not committing heresy. I had this wonderful friend who's 12 years of age. And his mom took him to every doctor in town because he was having stomach cramps, and nobody could figure out why. He was missing much of school. He missed most of the sixth grade. And it was some years later that he explained what was going on. He had gone to a sermon. The minister had said, if you tell a lie, the devil's going to grab you by the ankles in the middle of the night, straight out the window, and take you straight to hell. So this guy was sleeping with his knees up around his, because he told a lie, of course, and he was sleeping with his knees up against his chest, and so he was having all these stomach pains all the time and so forth. Even the most liberal of Christians, Unitarian, whatever, they want to see what you can do with this concern. And in the back of their thinking, many times, there is this concern about the devil and being a follower of Satan, and Satan somehow or other entrapping you, enmeshing you with logic. So it's my faith. I don't want to hear about anything else. I don't want to hear anything from. So this is a real live barrier that we can easily deal with if we deal with the Bible, the Word of God. Okay, David. And now Baha'i ignorance and Baha'i fear. These are barriers to our teaching work too.
Examples of Baha'i ignorance. Don't defend Christianity as our faith too, and can't show Bible scriptures lead directly to Baha'u'llah and can be used to effectively answer most Christians' questions. Hence, the Baha'is often stereotype the Christians as unteachable.
So, dear friends, because we don't teach to where the Christians are, where their hearts are, we blame them for not being interested in the Baha'i faith and say that they're unteachable. We're blaming them for the lack of our own understanding on how to teach this faith. That's what we're doing. Okay, David?
And also Baha'i fear that people, Christians, somehow are out to distort and injure our faith.
Okay, David. Number 12, then?
Strengthen, to help you strengthen awe and appreciation of the stupendous nature of the revelation of Baha'u'llah and the fundamental verities of our faith as the fulfillment and the explanation of the Old and the New Testaments.
This is that quote that I mangled just moments ago. The Guardian's saying that this was his unalterable conviction, that this was our first obligation in the realm of deepening, the appreciation of the stupendous nature of the revelation of Baha'u'llah. Okay, and finally, number 13.
To help you learn skills for and gain confidence in a systematic method to remove barriers for Christians to recognize their Lord's return, and to resolve their objections based on the approach of the Kitab-e-Iqan to interpretation of Scripture.
Okay, so friends, for those of you who like formulas, here's an overall approach. It's not the approach, it is an approach that you can use to organize your own thinking. So here are some steps that you might look at and see if you find from the rest of the course these are supported. Okay, go ahead, David. Number A?
First is the spiritual preparation for teaching by the steps that are directed in the writings.
So the most important preparation, as we've just read, is the heart, is the spiritual preparation. Okay? Number two.
Second, we need to avoid criticism and dispute.
In our writings, it says the aggressor deprives himself of the grace of God. The aggressor deprives himself of the grace of God. So if teaching in any way is a competition, you become an aggressor. You have deprived yourself of the grace of God. And be wary of disputation. Such is the quality of those who are firm in the covenant. If you refuse to argue and view the Christian's upset, rejection, anger as good, because it's there at second stage of investigating the Word of God, that's where you want to be. It is never right to argue. Number three.
And then we must establish points of agreement.
Even in the Old Testament, it says, agree with thine adversary. The first step is to confirm that you are a Christian, that you are a fellow believer in Christ, and you believe in the Bible as the Word of God. Go ahead, David.
Okay, these points of agreement, such as Baha'is accept Christ in the Bible, the Baha'is and Christians have many similar beliefs and doctrines, and the Baha'is are willing to resolve differences of understanding and interpretation by referring to the Holy Word of God, the Bible. As a Baha'i, I believe in the biblical explanation of the resurrection or whatever. Let us turn to the Bible and see what Scripture says.
Okay, now that answer always works. That answer always works. As a Baha'i, I believe in the biblical explanation of Jesus is God. The resurrection, baptism, salvation, forgiveness of sins. Let us turn to the Bible. If we have no hesitancy in turning to the Bible, we have a common language that we can share, that we can use as our vehicle to remove barriers between a soul and its Lord. And your willingness as a Baha'i to continually go to the Bible is a proof in and of itself. So the Christian will go to the minister and say, well, what about? The Baha'is are saying this. And the minister will say, well, no, it's original sin. No, it's the literal resurrection. And then the person comes back, and what do the Baha'is do? Go to the Bible. So here you have the Christian seeing their minister pop Christian theology, Christian by sermon, quite different than what's in the Bible itself. The Bible is our ally. What do we have to teach with? The Word of God and the example of Abdu'l-Bahá. The Baha'is are more biblical than most Christian ministers. That will give the Christian ministers fits. Now they're concerned. These Baha'is are shepherding my flock to Baha'u'llah. I am concerned. As long as they're talking social principles, I'm not so concerned. But now I'm very concerned. And what does Abdu'l-Bahá say? But after I leave you, some people may arise in opposition, heaping persecutions upon you in their bitterness. And in the newspapers there may be articles published against the cause. Rest ye in the assurance of firmness. Be well poised and serene, remembering that this is only as the harmless twittering of sparrows, and that it will soon pass away. If such things do not happen, the fame of the cause will not become widespread, and the summons of God will not be heard. We know this is going to happen. It will establish the faith. When Abdu'l-Bahá longs for the day when ministers bareheaded in the pulpit, I guess Muslim clergy mullahs get worked up and knock their turbans off, longs for the day when the ministers bareheaded in the pulpit will attack the faith, because then we will see the faith spread. Okay. So we must teach from the Word of God. Go ahead, David.
Also, we must learn to interpret the Bible often symbolically and spiritually to establish, first of all, that the proofs of Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ. As no Baha'i teachings seem relevant or make sense to Christians without this point. Sorry, I lost my grip there for a minute.
That was fine. It was good for emphasis, David. Thank you.
Oh.
What the point of this is, much of our teaching work is you wait for the 99th fireside to mention, to sort of slip in, that Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ. Then you watch for the reaction. It doesn't work that way. And David Lewis was telling us about his experience. And I can tell you from my own experience, these materials give you a confidence and a comfort, which makes you more capable as a teacher. Christians don't attack you with fangs and talons when you mention Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ. All of a sudden, there is relevance to what you're saying. If you talk about the equality of men and women and the principles, which is not bad, I'm not saying it's bad, but if you are talking about the authority for the equality of men and women coming from the return of Jesus the Christ, now I'm serious. I'm listening to what you have to say. Otherwise, this is not biblical. This is nothing in my Christian belief and background. It's all kind of nice and fluff and warm, but it's not relevant. It's not serious. But if you start with Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ, everything you say is now very much gaining the attention of the hearer to whom you are teaching. So I'm saying just opposite of what we have largely in the past done. There's a comment here from David Lewis. Can we get the microphone so we get this on the tape? Thank you so much.
I've used this approach 25 or 30 times since I broke my ankle. And I've had nobody say, get out of my face or anything like that. They've been very wonderful and understanding and wanting to know more. So it's an opening. And then I light up when I say that. I says, and also, isn't it wonderful that you get the opportunity to explore the return of Christ, which in your writings it says you should do. And I will help you do that if you're willing to look at your Bible and look at our teachings. So when you open up that dialogue, it goes on. And I've had people that are learning from me daily that come back and ask me more questions.
You know, dear friends, teaching the faith is basically a mystical process. We treat it like it's a formula or a cookbook kind of a thing. But it is a mystical process. It's the grace of God that someone recognizes Baha'u'llah. Don't we know that? And just mentioning the name Baha'u'llah, we're told in our writings, has this kind of mystical effect. So I'm saying just opposite. Don't hold that Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ to the 99th fireside. Everything you say becomes relevant if you say it in the name of the Lord. Baha'u'llah teaches he is the return of Christ and the equality of men and women and the elimination of racism and so forth and so on. Okay, now you show me where Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ. Ah, I'm glad you asked the question. Let us turn to the Word of God and see what the proofs are from the Bible for who Baha'u'llah is. Okay, please, David.
And this next thing that we do with the Bible has been the most powerful tool for me since September when this course got through this course the first time, and that is that all of the objections that all my Christian contacts are raising to Baha'u'llah are absolutely identical, almost word for word, with the arguments that the Jews had against the validity of Christ.
So what Baha'u'llah says in the Agan is, the proofs, my proofs are the same as the proofs of Jesus and Muhammad. The manifestation returns from age to age. And his persecutors return from age to age, and they ask the same darn questions every time. And here's the Agan addressing those questions. Here's how you can answer those questions. All right? The same objections made to Baha'u'llah are the same objections that were raised to Christ. And we'll see that. We'll go through that in just a moment. The same proofs that established Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior established Baha'u'llah as Lord and Savior. Now, I realize at this point in the class, there is some skepticism. It's a hard swallow. But I tell you, let's ask the same question, how you feel about this tomorrow about this time. Okay? Because that's what we're gonna do. We're going to explore the proofs of who Baha'u'llah is, and we're going to see that they're the same as the proofs for Jesus the Christ.
Also, our study of the book is going to lead us to some biblical inconsistencies of some Christian doctrines that conflict with Baha'i teachings and the ways to which to resolve those.
And the example given there in the notes is original sin. We're going to find much of Christian teaching is not in the Bible in the sense that it can be supported from both the Old and New Testament. Scriptural Christianity leads naturally to Baha'u'llah and supports the Baha'i teachings. Let's use it. What do we have to teach with? The Word of God, the example of Abdu'l-Bahá.
Also to help us to whatever proofs Christians apply to confirm their belief in Jesus, these very same proofs apply equally well to establishing the belief in Baha'u'llah. Whatever the objections, in principle, these same objections also apply to Jesus, as the Jews demonstrated. And lastly, help to redirect questions on doctrinal issues to the proofs of Baha'u'llah.
Dear friends, the Christians have been fussing over Christian doctrine for 2,000 years. It's unlikely in an evening you're going to tidy that all up. It's not going to happen. So why spend hours and hours and hours fussing on it? The most divided religion on the face of the earth is Christianity. There are 23,000, somebody was updating me now, 26,000 different divisions within Christianity. In my own little town of 15,000, we have 77 churches, okay? To try to start with doctrinal issues and bring the flock together, you need another 2,000 years. But if you start with who Baha'u'llah is, then all of these doctrinal things fade into the obscurity that they should be. So redefine the question on this doctrinal issue of who Baha'u'llah is and the proofs of Baha'u'llah in the Bible. What about Mormons? What about the Book of Mormon? What was the purpose of Joseph Smith? He was trying to reestablish the true church in preparation for the return of the Lord, Jesus the Christ. My dear fellow believer in Christ, Baha'u'llah claims to be the return of Christ. Can we turn to the Bible and I'll show you what his proofs are? So you don't spend hours and weeks and years and on the exact status of Joseph Smith. You redefine the question in terms of who is Baha'u'llah and what are his proofs. You lead with that. Okay? All right. Dear friends, what I'd like you to do is turn to page 14, if you would, and I'd like to deal with the specific preparations that come from our writings on how we're to prepare our hearts to teach. So we've been through the importance of teaching. We've been through the importance of the spiritual preparation. Now we're going to look at the specific instructions from our writings on how to go about preparing our hearts to teach our fellow believers in Christ. David, Roman numeral number 3.
How often to pray to meet a receptive soul?
The question is, how often do our writings say you should pray to meet a receptive soul?
Daily.
And you know what? The effect of that is that each person you're meeting, you're saying, is this the one? Is this the one that Baha'u'llah sent to me? You're thinking about teaching all the time. It has an effect on you. A prepared mind, you know that. Okay, number B.
It is now blank for every Baha'i to set for himself individual teaching goals.
What's the filling? It is now imperative. Imperative for every Baha'i to set for himself individual teaching goals. So we should be praying every day. We should have individual teaching goals. It's not the job of the assembly or an eloquent speaker. It is our job, all right, to set individual teaching goals. Okay, David.
They must first try and remove any apprehensions in the people they teach. In fact, every one of the believers should choose one person, every blank, and try to establish ties of friendship with him so that all his fear will disappear.
Yes. In fact, every one of the believers should choose one person every year. That's very specific instruction, is it not? Choose one person every year and try to establish ties of friendship with him so that all his fear would disappear. Just very briefly, would you turn to page 9? Here are a list of some of the apprehensions that most Christians are going to have when you announce yourself as a Baha'i. And let's just read through those. Letter A.
Fear of non-Christians, non-biblical sources of information as coming from false prophets, the Antichrist, the devil, etc.
I tell you, I think all Christians went to the same Sunday school, and they all got the same lesson. Anything that doesn't come from the Bible is from the devil, right? Isn't that it? In some way or another, no matter how good it sounds to you, no matter how rational and logical and wonderfully beautiful those Baha'is are, they're from the devil. That's there. That's an apprehension. It's in most Christians, if not all. And even the most liberal, I'm saying even the most liberal, have that haunting them for the most part in their background. Okay, so here's an apprehension. Number 2, or B. David.
Those Baha'is are trying to diminish the uniqueness of Christ's station, as in the only way, the only begotten Son, the only mediator between God and man, the only sinless life, the perfect sacrifice for all sinners, God in the flesh,
etc. So what do you mean, Baha'u'llah? Christ was unique. You're asking me to give up Christ to become a Baha'i. That's the way it's heard. That's the way that the minister will present the situation. You are being asked to give up Christ is the only way. And sometimes in our teaching work, we lean into that. We feed that fear by saying, well, no, Christ wasn't the only way. Was he the only way? He is the only way. And Baha'u'llah is the return of the only way. All right? Not that Christ wasn't the only way. But that's how does our fireside teaching go? Okay? Can we finish this section? We'll come to questions. Number C.
Also, those Baha'is will try to diminish the uniqueness of Christ's power, as in to resurrect on Judgment Day, to forgive sins, to perform the greatest miracles the world has ever seen, to offer himself selflessly, to atone for the sins of all, and to fulfill prophecy of the Old Testament, and to raise himself from the dead, etc.
Christ was unique. All human history pivots on Jesus the Christ. What are you Baha'is talking about? It makes me very apprehensive for you to mention the word Baha'u'llah and Baha'i writings. These are the apprehensions that haunt the mind of the seeker, that make it very difficult for them to be able to listen to you. Abdu'l-Baha says, first thing is remove the apprehensions. We're listing what some of those apprehensions are.